the minister write a letter to the committee, but because it was an urgent matter due to the involvement of his team that they are serving in other or are doing other responsibilities, that they could not make it to the meeting. I have to present it to the meeting, but we have an understanding with the minister that we can't continue with the item due to the reasons that has been presented. The team is ready to present on the item number 5 in terms of the report that has been consolidated. And it'd be fair that all the members of the team are able to be present to this meeting. Mr. Matonzi, I wanted just to deal with that matter so that I present it before the committee and the committee advise on how we must handle this this matter without inviting the minister, because we had a conversation and I have to present it to this meeting. Can I establish Mr. Matonzi on this on this item in particular so that we are able to look on the agenda as is highlighted? I'm presenting this matter to the members on item number 5. Before we look on the agenda. I see, let me say, Mr. Honorable Rose, I see your hand. Let me get Honorable Hwase, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Lizel, Honorable Ramoloben, Honorable Tito, Honorable Pile, and Honorable Mutise. I'm not sure if there are other members who are in attendance. If Honorable Choko is here, but I think I'll be guided as I invite members to comment on the on this matter. I'll start with Honorable Honorable Ross, Honorable Hwase, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Koche Rizel, Honorable Ramulobe, Honorable Tito, Honorable Pile, and Honorable Mudise on this matter in that order. Honorable Uros.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this report was supposed to serve in March, and then it was postponed again. And then at that last meeting, then we were really requested to give leeway to the minister who had another engagement, and we did so on the condition that this report serves before the end of the term. And now we said at the end of the term, before a very long recess. And not only do we not have the report that we asked for, but we also now have we're being asked to say, well, the minister's here, but two or three people from the department can't make it, so therefore we can't now look at this. So Chairperson, I'm very annoyed about this. I think it's something that's really critical. There was a big, a few big moves were made a few weeks ago, and people are asking about this, what is going on? And it looks very strange because we've had reports before where certain officials are not necessarily there and the minister carries on and delivers it. It is a report that is, you need certain people to be there and talk about it. The fact is that it should have been presented to us and said, here it is for cognizance. And then we can discuss it next week. The fact that we don't have it at all because some officials can't make this meeting, to my mind, is unacceptable, Chair.
Okay. Noted. Let me just correct one point that we're dealing with the task team appointed by the minister, not necessarily officials from the department. But noted the comment, Mr. Honorable Uros, Honorable Hwase. Honorable Hwase.
Okay. Good morning and thank you very much, Chair. I'm sorry, I'm struggling with the network from my side. But in as much as Honorable Rose have raised the reasons that would make one worrisome, if today there's no possibility of us getting the report, I think Chairperson, or the presentation, I think Chairperson, it would only be fair for when both parties, us and the department and the minister, will make time that requires us to deal with this report, because now in as much as we would want to debate about it and say it's either it's presented presented today or not. If we can't present it today, I think the way forward should be, maybe the timeline should be given to the minister to say on this day as the portfolio committee, we would want the committee to sit down and discuss the report. I think that would be a way forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, I think I have been covered by the first two colleagues that have spoken. I'd also like to emphasize that it's very important that we get this report for us to be able to look at it. And secondly, if we are going to have a meeting next week, I'd like to suggest that we have this report deliberated on next week, because this matter has been long overdue. As Honorable Ross has already indicated, that it was supposed to be discussed in March already. I suggest that we discuss it next week if we are going to be having a meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile. Co-chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the colleagues. Chairperson, you know, at this stage, I'm really quite worried, because as much as you are saying that the minister requires his task team, fine, we can accept that. But this is a report that is very long outstanding, and it is something that affects the nation at large. And in fact, people have been asking, if you look on social media, people have been asking, why is this report not been released? And this comes at a time where I've said on numerous occasions that we face a full-blown immigration crisis, and that, you know, there's so much going wrong. I mean, look at for example, the issue of our passports and our IDs. It's not only permits that are a concern, but also other issues. So I would really like to appeal that we cannot continue to kick the can down the road. We need to deal with this report. So I would like to get comfort, firstly, that the report is ready, and it's only an issue that the task team is not available, and that we then set it down for deliberation for next week, so that we can please get into the issues of this report, because we have been waiting for it for far too long. So I would then second the proposal that we deal with it as a matter of urgency and the first item on the agenda for next week, if the report is indeed ready. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Honorable Ramalobe. Honorable Tito. Honorable Tito. Honorable Pile.
Good morning, Chair. Chair, I think firstly, we have to agree that this is one of the very important reports, and that as a portfolio committee, we really need to have this report presented to us. But I also think that there may be, questions that may arise from the report that the minister may not be able to directly respond to, particularly because there is a task team, and that task team would have firsthand knowledge on it. So, Chair, I think that in as much as I hear what all members are saying, and yes, there is an urgency for us to receive this report, it will not do us any harm as the committee if we had to postpone this matter. But also I want to say that, can we have an indication as to when it's going to come before us? And also that we don't put this item with any other item on the agenda. It should be only this item on the agenda of that meeting, so that we can be able to deal with it, deliberate on it, and finish with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mudise.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think I'm also covered by the previous speaker to say maybe we should then find a suitable date for us to deliberate on this item. It must be in the only standing item on the agenda. I believe that it's a report from the task team that was investigating these issues. So I think it really requires us to give it a special attention. And one must say that really it's long overdue, and the sooner we can find a suitable time on our schedule and have it as an item agenda, it should be as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I'll invite the minister just to make a certain issues. Honorable Rizal raised an important matter in terms of just to find comfort on the report. But before that, Mr. Matons, next week Friday, what is happening?
Next week Friday or next week Tuesday, Chairperson?
Next week Friday, Mr. Matanze.
I don't think we've got anything. I don't have my program open at the moment, but I don't think we've got anything because we've got a meeting on the 5th, which is Tuesday, and also on the 12th.
Okay. What is the date on Friday?
Okay, let me quickly check. It will be
8th of June.
Yeah, 8th of July. Yeah.
Okay. I'm soliciting this part because it appears that this report will only be an agenda item, and we need to get into work on, I'm saying, complete this process. We must not delay the these deliberations. And I want to put to members if we may need to look on the 8th of July next week, Friday. But let me get a sense from the minister in terms of the issues that we raised. I agree fully with members in terms of their submissions, and that it is long overdue, this report, and the reasons that were put forth in terms of the delay. But I think we note that the support team of the task team, if they're not available, will not able to carry the report. And I think in the last meeting, the minister did indicate that it is a technical report that will need the requisite expertise that dealt with the report to able to interact with the committee, as this is an important subject that affects the country and the minister. Can I get an indication on the readiness of the report so that we're able to deal with this matter, and if you'll be comfortable to next week Friday on the 8th, Minister?
Yes, no, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to honorable members. Honorable members, I'm as anxious as you for the report to come out, because indeed the report is ready. There's no other reason that we are delaying it except that this was an investigative report by investigators. It will be remiss for me to try and make myself an investigator and bring it to you. The people who are not here are not officials from the department. It has got nothing to do with officials from the department, but the outside people who were doing the investigation, who we could not get today, for which I profusely apologize. I was about to say, just give me a day. Just give me a day, and you have already given me the 8th. It will definitely be done, Chairperson. And I also appreciate the fact that you said it will be the only agenda item. I'm really advising, so it must not be mixed with many other items, because it's not a small thing in terms of time, the period, I mean the time which is allocated, but in terms of the immensity of what is going to be presented. So the 8th, we accept it fully. We'll do everything in our power to make sure that the members are there. But even then, Chairperson, these members are high-powered people. Some of them have since been called to the bench to act, and they are not easily available. But I'll make sure that I bring a minimum number of those without whom the report cannot be presented like today. Thank you very much.
Can I solicit this date? But I'll invite three honorable members, Honorable Lekoche, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Modise, if we approve the 8th of July. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the feedback given by the Minister. We approve the 8th of July. Chairperson, I'd also like to humbly request that we get the report well in advance. If we are going to deliver, we are going to deliberate on it on the 8th of July. Can we get the report next week or latest by Friday, this week Friday, to enable us to have enough time to peruse through the report? Thank you very much.
Honorable Lizen.
Chairperson, I have got a caucus workshop all of next week, but I have already applied now to my chief whip that I be excused. So that will be fine for the 8th of July. And also, yes, if we can just receive the report soonest. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Modise.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the response from the Minister. Chair, we accept the 8th of July. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Can I get your impression on the report? I know that you have raised something the last meeting. If you can recap that.
The impression in what way, Chairperson?
The report that you ought to submit to the committee before the 8th of July.
I was really hoping, Chairperson, all the reports of a sensitive nature, like if you remember the report that was done with CETA, if you remember about the OE, I mean the what do you call it, the forensic investigation that was done with CETA for the 409 million rand. We presented it and you saw it for the first time here because of the sensitivity nature of investigations. I'm not sure whether honorable members will insist on seeing the report of that nature because we have never done so. But what can I do if you demand it? I just thought reports like that are forensic in nature and sensitive that are kept under lock. You see them when they arrive here, you are not forced to debate it at that time because we are not forcing you to allow. You can even call us for the second time or second day, but just to distribute it all over here, even electronically. I'm a bit jittery about that, Chairperson, but it's in the hands of the committee. I'm just saying you have never done that to me, us in the past on report that were investigative in nature. You know, you always gave us time to call the team to come here and start from the beginning to show you everything. You have done that before, and I was hoping you'll do us the same favor to on this one today.
Okay, what we'll do, Minister, I will interface with the Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Modise, and with the legal team once we conclude on the status of the report, just to establish, and then we'll then advise Minister to if the report should be sent to the members, or we must receive the report as to be presented on the 8th, and thereafter we'll follow up on the issues, noting that the report once being circulated, I recall when we're dealing with one report that if people were implicated, others may attempt to interdict the report to not be presented or not to be issued by the minister. But I think let's summarize in that manner. We note the report is ready. As to whether it must be presented, submitted to ourselves, I will interact with the Honorable Kanyele Lizelle, Honorable Mutise, and Honorable Tito, and the legal team on this subject. And then we'll advise the committee in our next committee and minister. I don't think that is even if the report can be presented, then we'll follow up as long as it's been issued, presented by the team responsible. I think that is our understanding on this matter. Yes. Thanks very much, members, and thanks, Minister, and thanks, honorable members, for giving guidance on this matter. Mr. Matonsi, item number 5 won't deal with it. We'll then deal with the 3 items, 3 and 4, and then we close the meeting. I'm inviting you, Mr. Matonsi, for apologies.
Chairperson, I've got only one apology. Hello, Chairperson, did you hear me?
No, we didn't hear you.
I was saying I have got only one apology from Ms. Mlekwa.
Okay. What is an apology?
She says she got an appointment with the doctor.
Okay. No, thanks, Mr. Matonsi. The apology noted and accepted. Can I invite Mr. Salmon? to recap on the issues that the committee must deliberate on this meeting. Thank you.
To members is a response to the ICT's revision. So maybe the IEC present on their document, and then if they don't cover the issues, then we can raise it afterwards, because it's kind of like putting the cart before the horse, because it's a response to the IEC IEC deliberations, the IEC document. But I'll take your guidance. If you want me to start, I'll still start, but it's to let the IEC start.
Yes, can you just run on, Mr. Salmon?
Okay. Ahead. The responds primarily to the most recent document sent to us. One of the issues that weren't, there was general agreed on all the other clauses as well as the other sections in the IEC, I understand.
Mr. Salmon.
Yes, sir.
We can't, that presentation with that with is not on the screen.
Okay, so I'm having, looks like it's sharing, but I'm having.
I think that, now we are fine. Thank you, Mr. Salmon. No. Mr. Matons, can you see the document?
For now, no.
Eddie, sorry, I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah, my network is jumping on and off. But I'll continue. Just if it cuts out again, then maybe we can just let the IEC present, and I'll come in afterwards. My power comes back at 10:30. Okay, just to indicate, can you hear me, Eddie?
Yes, I can hear you.
So just going to section C, just to reiterate there that if members agree to the inclusion of independent candidate agents, we will be required in terms of rule 280.
Mr. Salmon.
Yes, sir.
I requested the document is not on the screen that we've went through on it.
For my side, it looks like it's sharing. Let me just say it could be a network challenge.
Mr. Matons, well, can you assist Mr. Salmon?
Okay, let me. If you can be talking while I'm trying to get it on the system.
Okay, let me just maximize this and try again. Okay, Eddie, I found it. Let me try again. Can you see it?
Okay. I can see it.
Yeah, no thanks, Mr. Salmon. You can proceed.
Apologies, Chairperson. Yes, just to indicate that if we're going to be including these sections on chapter 5 of the Act in the bill, then we will be required to garner permission from the National Assembly to include new sections in the bill that are not within the initial scope of the bill. We also have to bear in mind that there's an NCOP process that commences at the beginning of next term. So might be special arrangements that we need to do to get that permission to expand the scope of the report for the bill. Going to D, the IE document.
Mr. Salmon is going through network challenges. Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, Chairperson.
Are you able to assist Mr. Matonzi? Sorry, Mr. Salmon.
Oh, okay. Adam?
Yes, Eddie.
Yeah, oh, yes. I was just...
Proceed, Mr. Adam. Salmon, you seem to be clearer.
Okay. Try again. On Section D, the relating to independent candidates being able to run across several regions, or just one region nationally, like is allowed for political parties. The IEC gave two options. They drafted a clause for the former, where independent candidates run across several regions, provinces, but then on Section E, no signature required, a percentage of the votes, the equivalent elections, but they don't indicate what the percentage would be. Before, as all they were saying, it would be need to be 50% of what was required for a seat, but they haven't indicated what that percentage would be now. So I think members would need to know this, particularly if it's going to be in the regulations and not in the bill. And also, they also indicate that deposits will be calculated. So again, if it's going to be in the regulations, members will want to know whether, in particular, the parties and independent candidates will be paying deposits because it was each of the date. Then on the number of ballots, there was some confusion around the use of the term multi-member regional constituencies, which is referred to in this section, but isn't in the definitions and overlaps with the definition of region. So I think the legal service team asked that this either needs to be consistently throughout the bill, or we need to just refer to regions just to prevent confusion. Relating to clause in the document, there was still an uncertainty whether the committee will use the ratio of 200 to 200 seats in the regional, the compensatory seats, or if it was going to be revised to 300 to 100, which was indicated in previous meetings. So this is a policy issue that the proposal that be removed in favor of compliance by particular elections rather than after elections where members lose their seats because they don't have their list. So that one the IEC hasn't responded to. Presumably it could be they're in agreement, but there wasn't a response from them on that one yet. So these are the gaps that I identified. With your permission, Chairperson, asked the legal service team to pitch in if they saw any gap, but perhaps we can do this after the IEC is presented. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, members. Thanks, Mr. Salmon. This is a draft we have looked at in terms of the issues that must go into the deliberations today. We wanted to zoom on the key areas where the IEC and the legal team, both State Advice and Parliamentary and the DHA has looked at and responded last week. So we've structured the inputs in line with that what members have raised in our last deliberations. There are other issues which will then raise further with the stakeholders for purpose clarity that may require legal team. There was an attempt to persuade the committee for a workshop with the IEC, which it is not in the current favor to consider that, noting that we will deliberate on these issues. If there are other matters that requires the IEC, we'll invite them to the committee to reflect on. We'll then interface with the proposed matter when we now towards closer or post the report being presented to the committee, just for overall issues that need for the attention of the parliament or all stakeholders as we move forward. Members, this is the framework we thought we must bring to the committee for purpose of structured deliberation on the key issues that are raising. We'll start with the first item, section C, these agents, and then we'll come to section D, section E, and F, and close one. We may not exhaust all of them today, but we can deal with the one subject, one item, and then we have an understanding. The intention also is that we must then prepare to receive, allow the legal service or the stakeholders to draft the A list so that the committee look at it. We are going to start with the making input on the issues that were raised by the IEC on the this matter that were highlighted. I'll invite you members in the manner that we have requested yourself. Honorable Rose, Honorable Khwase, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Lizelle Ramulobeng, Honorable Ramulobeng. I'm advised that Honorable Tito is not in the meeting. Honorable Pile and Honorable Mudise on the first matter. Honorable Rose.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think it's a critical element of fairness to have party agents and to be able to observe the system. So certainly the need for independent candidates to have party agents is very important. So we certainly support that. I think it's really just a matter of how, because we discussed having a political liaison committee, and then out of those the independents would choose a certain number of persons, etc. So it seems that at this point in time we need to really come to a point where we can decide how would that work, how would that look, would you allow every independent candidate, etc. And then at the other element, as you say, is that it would then need to go back to the National Assembly for amendment. But certainly, Chairperson, if we look at the stats, I think in the local government elections, there were maybe 5% of votes went to independent candidates. So if you consider how many agents could there be at each voting station, it's questionable how many could line up and how that would work. If I remember the previous meeting, we had asked for some input on this. From the IEC in terms of what are the options and how could it work. So I'm not sure, Chair, that we're at the point in time where we can absolutely decide how that would look. But it's something that we need to do. But certainly I don't think it's something that we can leave out of the bill. Independents would need to be able to have party agents.
Okay, I think the intention of the report, the presentation of the IEC and our deliberation is to zoom and because this is clearer in terms of the articulation, and is before the committee to consider as to whether how will be their impression in terms of this party agent. I'm just saying that members must input with the understanding to resolve on the matter, and not referred back to the stakeholders when they've grounded their processing in our last meeting. But I understand the honorable Ross in the manner that you are raising. Honorable Mudise. Honorable Jose.
Chair, I just asked Bra Eddie to accept her. She's been struggling and she's been waiting to get in.
Oh, okay. Honorable Kanyile.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I also do think that it is important for the independent candidates to have party agents in their VDs. However, one may, in terms of indicating how many party agents they need to have per VD, I think as much as it is very important for us to establish that, it is a bit difficult to get to that point when we don't even know how many party agents, how many independent candidates are going to partake in the upcoming elections. I think as a committee, we need to work around that, maybe to discuss the number, maybe have a minimum of 5 per VD. Maybe it should be up to them, the independent candidates, how they spread themselves. Maybe they can decide that if one or a certain group has 5 party agents in one VD, the others could be spread to the other VDs. But I think this is very important for us to have a number, especially considering the size of the VDs. I think at the moment, I'd like to propose that if possible, maybe we can suggest a minimum of 5 party agents per VD for the independent candidates. Then maybe it should be up to them to decide how they spread them to all other VDs to reach that minimum, if that's doable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mudise.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mine, I want to make a comment on the terminology around the party liaison committees or party agents. The bill is clear that we need to be inclusive or accommodative of the independent candidates. Therefore, for me, the terminology is not necessarily an issue, but what we need to be mindful of is to make sure that we apply the principle as it states that we must be able to accommodate the independent. Therefore, maybe if we then say it's the liaison committee instead of including the party, because the independent are not necessarily a party, but it's just a terminology glitch, and it needs to be amended in order to accommodate those independent. So it's just a choice of words, a chair. But for easy reference, I think we just need to, we can leave it as a liaison committee. Secondly, Chair, the definition of region is sufficiently clear as compared to a province.
Honorable Mudisi, I wanted us just to deal with this item as has been highlighted on the, I can see here, now you're going to another item.
Oh, noted, Chair. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Lizel.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you very much. I have extended by Honorable Kanyile. I do believe, of course, if we talk process that we have embarked on, that of course independent candidates should have agents. And then if it's a matter of numbers, I think the proposal that Honorable Kanyile made about maybe a minimum of 5 per voting district, I think could be a sensible proposal, but yeah, so I would leave it at that. I support I'm in support of what they had proposed. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lokhwase. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. No, Chair, I think it's a matter of the principle of agreeing that yes, there is a need for us to include independent candidates, agents, as well as in terms of the liaison committee. And I think there's consensus as members to say that yes, it must be. I wouldn't delve too much into the allocation or number of agents because that can be dealt with in terms of IC. You know, there are guidelines, particularly in their different acts. And currently, Chair, you find that in some VDs, because of the space, while you may be allowed two party agents inside, they only allow one because they accommodate for the number of parties or participating individuals in that election. So I think, again, somewhere along the line, there was a proposal or presentation that said, as per discretion of the presiding officer, if the VD is too small, then they would have a rotation where agents will rotate. And I think that those are all things that can be dealt with at that stage. But I think the principle is that we allow for them to be part of that process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lokhwase. Okay, I think the principle is that they must we must include the party agent, and I think all of us we agree in that. As to the details that must inform their participation, and the IEC has accurately articulated to that effect, and we'll leave it to the regulations when they do their regulation. I think that was the impression of the IEC. But as Honorable Giselle has raised even in the last committee meeting, that there must be a fair participation if we're to consider the inclusion of the independent candidates. The details on the number, we may not prescribe the number that party agents has to form part, but let's agree to leave it to the IEC. But the principle stands in terms of the participation, inclusion of the party agents. Will that assist us to understand, to conclude on this matter? Mr. Adams, are you taking the notes of members in terms of processing? Can you highlight the second item? Adams? Mr. Matonzi?
Okay, I'm just checking if, Chairperson, I'm just checking if Adam is in the meeting.
Yeah.
It looks like it's no longer in the meeting.
Okay. The second matter was on the second item was on the section D on a multi regions. The committee must decide whether they allow independent candidates to run across regions, the IC submissions, in terms of the process that the report that was outlined by the content advisor. Can we get into this item? Can I invite Honorable Pile, Honorable Bruce, Honorable Lokhwase, Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Mutise?
Chair, can I just get clarity? Which item are you looking at? Because remember, this presentation has disappeared now.
Yeah, on the section, on the multi-region, the participation of independents.
Oh, okay, sure. All right. Chair, I think we've had, you know, pretty much lengthy discussions on this item. But I just want to remind us that irrespective of where the independent candidate contests, even if there was hypothetically contestation in all regions, that they will only occupy one seat. And that would mean that it'll be specific to where they have received the highest proportion of votes, you know, relative to the respective quota in that region. And I think it is for that reason, Chair, that I would propose that it remains the way it is currently in the bill, that a candidate is allowed to contest only in one region. And that could be, you know, where the candidate resides or where the candidate chooses to reside. Chooses to contest. I'm just mindful of the fact that a candidate may say, I have residence in KZN, I have residence in Gauteng, I have residence in Limpopo. So then it means that the individual would choose which specific region they want to contest. And I think it should be limited only to be able to contest in one region. And again, I'm saying based on the fact that you will only occupy one seat, depending on where you get the highest votes. So for that reason, then it should remain as being contested in one region. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, we'd requested input from the IEC on this, some advice, and the advice was that independent candidates should be able to participate in any province because the national election covers all the provinces. So this is the understanding that I had, is that we were moving forward on that basis. Chairperson, I also raised the issue of general proportionality, which is problematic if you do not allow independent candidates to be on the national or considered for your top-up seats, your proportional seats. So, Chairperson, the position of the DA is essentially that independent candidates should be able to participate in all regions. We even said that if the concern was raised that, well, if an independent can stand in all regions, then an individual party member should also be able to do so. But Chairperson, our understanding is that you either run as a party or as an independent candidate. So when you're running with a party, you are running with that collective. So to say that you're going to compare an independent candidate to a candidate in a party is a different story. One needs to say a party can run in all provinces. It could put forward candidates in all provinces, and independent candidates should also be able to do so. But then the problem from a general proportionality point of view, and for some reason it's not on this list, which is a big issue, is that independent candidates should be able to also gain a seat by collecting enough votes across the provinces to get a PR seat. And this will help us as best as possible to reach general proportionality. Because, Chair, it's accepted that essentially an independent candidate gets a seat, but by excluding them from the PR allocation at the end, one is destroying the general proportionality of the system. And so our proposal here, Chair, is that independents be able to stand in multiple regions, as can political parties. We had said before that the independent candidate should get the seat in the province where they receive the most votes. But also if they don't get a seat from any one of those, our view is that they should get a PR seat if they collect enough votes across the country to gain a PR seat. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ross. Honorable Lizen.
Yeah, sorry, Chairperson, I'm traveling. Yes, I would fully concur. We did ask for advice on this matter from the IEC. And I feel very strongly that if political parties are able to compete or participate across the country, then so should independent candidates. And therefore, I'm fully in support of the proposal that they should be able to contest in more than one region. And that they, of course, take up a seat in the provincial legislature where they got the most votes. And then I did mention in the last meeting that we should seriously consider the proposal which Honourable Ruiz keeps on proposing or articulating, which I think makes a lot of sense, and we should delve into it. The issue of if a candidate doesn't get enough votes, that the votes that they get across the country is then put together or you know, towards a PR seat. So I fully concur that they should be able to contest in multiple regions and not only be restricted to one. And I think it goes back to the very issue of inclusivity and fairness. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your input. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have been covered by Honorable Rose and Van der Merwe. We are in support of the candidates participating in the elections in all the regions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Lukwase.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'm sorry for earlier, I had to move. I had a connection problem. Chair, I believe that an independent candidate must only contest at a space where they are registered at or where they reside. They should not be able to contest in all the provinces, because in as much as we would want to say that political parties contest in all the areas, they are political party. Being independent means one. So in my view, there's no single person that stays in many provinces, unless yes, one would be saying, as Didimalo, I am staying in Gauteng and also in Northwest, but one must be able to say, I choose to contest in this space where I am a registered voter. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mudisa.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I've also been covered by Comrade Tulane Lekwase, and I'm fully in support that an independent can only contest in the space where they reside or where they are registered. And unlike a political party that might be able to solicit more than one seat, an independent can only get one seat should they garner enough votes. Therefore, I support the one region, one independent contesting the space. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Is there another member I might have not called, Honorable Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, there was Miss Tito. She was in the meeting.
I've just switched off the video because I'm affected by this load shedding thing. Apologies. Honorable Tito, if you, and apologies for not recognizing that you've now joined the meeting. There's a contribution. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Chair. Thanks, Chair, and morning to everyone who is on the platform. Yes, Chair, I'm also saying that the independent must contest in one region where he or she is residing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. There are two views expressed by on this discussion, and I don't want to use the...
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Ross?
No, Chair, it's me, Honorable Pele. My hand was up. I'm not sure if you saw that.
Oh, no, apologies, Honorable Rose. Apologies, Honorable Pele, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just wanted to bring to the attention of the committee that in that proposal of the IEC, there was the latter part, which we must not forget, that the IEC in their submission said that this, and I quote verbatim, "This, however, does not equate to the independent candidate being able to aggregate votes across regions." So while members have chosen the first part that said that the IEC said you could contest as an independent across all nine regions, there was that part at the end that said it does not equate to the candidate being able to aggregate votes, which means that you then cannot combine the votes of all regions in order to qualify for a seat. I think it's important to bear in mind that submission. Thank you.
Noted. I'm going to, there are two views expressed here, and I don't want to use the frame that was used last week when we're dealing with the content advisor's presentation to say three members said this, two said this, and so forth and so on. But we need to look on the key submissions that were made by members, and they also reflecting on the response presentation that has been expressed by the IEC, but on the also on the submission made by our or people or stakeholders in terms of this process, and members have expressing two views in line with the issues, the subject matter on the participation of independent regions and provinces. And what we'll do, Adams, is that we'll not summarize on the on this one. We'll put this understanding of the participation and look on what the IEC has presented in terms of the issues that are raising. And I will want them to come back in this meeting, because it does not need to have a fair engagement for a presentation, because that's a clarity that members seem to have quoting correctly or missing some of the issues that we're raising. I'm going to invite, just to request Commissioner Love, if you can allow executive just to input on this subject for understanding, and then we'll leave it and we'll come back, and when we're going to resolve on it, we'll take notes on the, just to refresh on the issues that were raised by the IC. Just on the subject, Honorable Love.
Thanks very much, Chair, and greetings to the honorable members. I'm going to hand over to the CEO, because I think he can then take the honorable members through some of the detail of the submission for the refresh, if with your permission, Chair.
Yes, yes, yeah. CEO, just on the matter, just for a minute, then we proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. The proposal that the Commission made was that allow independents to contest across all the 9 regions, and that, and the same would apply to candidates of political parties. The reason for that proposition is that the National Assembly, it's a national constituency. It is not broken down, as it were. It's one national entity. So you should be able, therefore, to contest that national entity from anywhere. And that logic, it's replete in our legislation, because if you think of Section 24A votes, where you vote outside of your voting station, for the national ballot, you can cast it anywhere, essentially, precisely because we are all voting for this one national constituency, which is the National Assembly. That's why you can exercise your national ballot essentially anywhere. Now, and that should be, that option should be available to both party and independent candidates. The It is different, however, as it relates to provincial elections. That to contest a provincial election, you've got to be resident in that province and not be a member of a provincial legislature in which you are not resident. So there's a, you circumscribe participation to the province in respect of provincial legislatures, whereas in respect of the National Assembly being a national constituency, you should be able to contest it anyway. The rider that we put was, in the event you win multiple seats from different regions, then you take the seat where you garner the most votes. Thank you, Chairperson and Vice Chair.
No, thanks very much, CEO, for coming back on that on that matter. Because there are two expressed views, and I think the IEC offers more clarity on the issues. Adams will note these views that may express in the meeting on this subject, and will come back to it in terms of at least there's an understanding on the submission that we made on how we're going to outline the processing of the decision on this one. Can we go to the, unless there's another, there's a view that members need to input after Mr. Mamabolo?
Yeah, yes, Chair, my hand is up.
Okay, Honorable Pile.
Chair, yeah, I just see that the IEC has not delved into what I had mentioned before they came in. Can they just clarify that part where they did say in their proposal that, and can confirm that they said it should not aggregate votes? I think it's important.
Yeah, Honorable Pile, any other member want to just to get into the?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Ross.
Thank you, Chair. I understand that, and I think Honorable Pele is correct in what he's saying. Our input is from a DA policy point of view. I think and as the IEC have spoken about here, we are talking about the ability to participate in a national election of a national constituency, and therefore, if independents are able to contest in different regions, and bearing in mind they would have to meet the signature requirements and the payment requirements of each region, they might, if they don't get enough votes for a seat in any of those, but they get together enough votes to make a seat on the national list, then that should be possible, Chair. So I understand what the IEC said, but this is a, you know, and I expressed the contrary view then as well. It is to say that the key thing is from a proportionality point of view. If you had 80,000 people that voted for you across the country as a party or as an independent, you should get the seat. You shouldn't have a rule that that stops you then, even though you got 80,000 votes, because they were from different regions, that you now can't get a seat. Because at the end of the day, you're contesting a national election. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, noted. Any other member want to, before I invite back the IEC? Okay. Through you, Honorable, Commissioner Love. Mr. Mawabulo.
Chair, the nub of the proposition that the Commission had made was that the participation of independents happen in the regions, the nine regions, and not in the PR in the PR component. That's really the consequence of the proposition that was made. Now, if you are
to aggregate, even for independence, it means they have to be on the national ballot. Because remember, our proposal was that you have three ballots. You can't aggregate for them in the 200 other seats if they are not on that ballot. So it would mean you have to allow them to contest in the regions as well as in the national to national ballot. As we speak, the effect, the proportional effect of that, we've not looked at whether what would be the effect of an arrangement like that on overall a proportionality. We'd want to go look at the mathematical side of it to ensure that it meets the demands of Section 46 of the Constitution. But the practical implication of that proposition is that in that national to national ballot, then they have to be on that ballot, because that is a separate election, and the regional election is a separate, distinct election. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you. Is that satisfy both of you? Oh, no, not satisfy. Offer clarity to the subject matter, Honorable Pile in particular.
Chair, yeah, no, I think it's very clear, and it speaks to this item leads to the item of the ballots, because it then affects where do you appear on which ballot. And I think we need to be clear on whether you are able to contest on, and I hear the I hear what is being said about provincial legislature, and then again in terms of the National Assembly. And I think this will also then lead into requirements like Honorable Ruas is saying, because then if you're contesting a legislature, you require signatures for legislature. And then if you're contesting a National Assembly, you would require signatures for National Assembly. So I think each of those items would lead to another clause. And I think we must bear in mind while we are deliberating how it affects the different clauses and the requirements. But I think for now, I'm happy to rest on that.
Yeah. Honorable, I didn't want to go to that far. And there's a reason, because earlier on, before I invited IEC, I expressed that there are two views that have been expressed by members on this subject. And I knew that that our deliberation may have to affect or contribute to other clauses that we'll be discussing as we move on. So we'll then not resolve, but there's an understanding on this matter of the participation on the views that has been expressed, and the IEC offering its own clarity, which they have dealt with in their last presentation. I will want Mr. Salmon and Mr. Matonsi to capture well this subject, the matter of deliberation, and we'll come back to it so that we're able to thoroughly resolve on it. Let's move to the
Chairperson, I'm sorry.
Yes, Mr. Matonsi.
Yeah, there was a hand of the deputy minister.
Oh. Sorry, I did not check my DM, Mshazi.
No, thank you very much. There is just one issue that I think we need to note that I think we must deal with it moving forward around the issue of aggregating seats that might be garnered.
Mr. Mr. Martins, I'm not sure it's on my side or is it DM. I can't
hear. I think it's the DM, if maybe you can off.
Yeah. Can you request the DM to switch off the video so that at least you navigate the network? Yeah, the DM is completely out now. It's completely. Okay, we'll call back the DM once we is fine. When they will indicate Mr. Matonsi, when the DM is fine. In that summary, resolve in that matter. The two submissions that we made in this meeting, and we'll then come back and resolve on that as we engage with other inputs. We're now going to the DM. Can you indicate if you are fine now? Yeah, no, the DM is out. We'll call him back as we continue the matter. Now we're going to the section E, the signature and deposit, the impression on that. I will invite Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Ruos, Honorable Kwase, Honorable Tito, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Pilen, Honorable Mutise.
Chairperson, I'm sorry. I'm actually in an area where there's very little signal, but I wanted to say that in the previous meeting, I had indicated that we needed to get guidance from the IEC in terms of what would be a fair amount in terms of signatures and deposits, a fair formula, because I made the point that if you compare what a political party will pay for X amount of candidates, and similar, if you draw that same formula to a political party in terms of signatures, then what is a fair formula for independent candidates? And I'm still there because I don't think we've gotten feedback in that regard. So I think we've resolved that, of course, deposits and signatures are important. For me, it's just now about what is a fair formula and how do we work out that formula. So I don't have the answers to that. But if we can get guidance from the IEC.
Okay.
I know you said we shouldn't refer back to stakeholders, but I'm not an expert in this regard. But you know, so I'm still at the same point that I raised last time, is we need to come up with a fair formula, Chairperson. Thank you.
No, I think you're correct, co-chair, that I was not referring back. I was referring to issues IEC must come back and present again. But at this moment that we're dealing with subject issues that need clarity, and they did made presentation in the last meeting. They will come back and deal with this matter. A principle which we may need to affirm, and I think just the not trying to impose the view, but a guide, is that we must have signatures and the deposit. And can I invite Honorable Ruos?
Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, the IEC proposed 50% of the previous vote count from the from the last election of a similar nature. So the last NPE, for example. Chairperson, the other thing that wasn't really resolved was that we had to agree whether 3 months, there was a 3 month requirement for somebody to move from a political party to become an independent candidate. No later than 3 months before an election. But the concern was with the number of signatures required, how the IEC would process that and whether they would be able to process that in time. The Chairperson, it's not something that we necessarily resolved, but I think that the IEC had indicated that it was going to be quite a challenge, especially if you receive a list, a manual list in hard copy, and then you had to go and find 30,000 IDs from that list. So, Chairperson, I just think it's not on here, but it's something that we also need to agree on, and whether 3 months is a sufficient amount of time, because it might be, you know, certainly in my opinion, 3 months then could be not enough time to cover the risk that you have a number of signatures that arrive on the IEC's table and they are unable to verify that in time, and therefore verify that the candidate is a verified candidate, so to speak. So, Chair, I'm happy with the IEC's proposal on the 50%, but I think perhaps the 3 months is perhaps not enough. Perhaps it should be more months, just to allow that space. But what we'd hoped for was to get that input to estimate how long it was going to take and what the resources that are required to undertake such an exercise. So that's the only point that's still open for me and unanswered. It would have been helpful to get some guidance on that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Ross. We'll come back, co-chair, with Commissioner Love on the matter that the committee sought further clarity or contribution on that. I will invite the DM once we've finished on this matter, if he's back. Honorable Khwase.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to agree with the submission, because in my view, where we are sitting, the issue of the signatures and the deposits is an issue that should be left for regulations. And the only party to regulate such is the IEC. So clarity will be sought from that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Lukwase. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was covered by Honorable Rose.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile. Honorable Tito.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I think that is best that we get the clarity from the IEC on the issue of the deposit and also of the signature. But also in terms of the 50%, I think that the 50% signatures is also quite right from my side. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tito. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I'm going to deal with two of the items under the signatures and deposit. The first one is the deposit, I think, should be left to the IEC, and that it shouldn't be stipulated in terms of what the amount is, because if we put it in the bill, it means that you're going to have to change it all the time. But if you allow the IEC to deal with it, the deposit can change based on economic conditions, based on whatever the circumstances around that is and the need for that to change. So I think the deposit should be left to the IEC, but again, I think we must be fair that it must be a fair deposit. And I'm still going to stress that a seat equivalent to everybody else, because you're contesting the space, you're getting the seat, it's the same amount of benefits that comes with that. And so hence you should be able to be paying the same if you are contesting that space. So the deposit must be left to IEC. But in respect of the signatures, Chair, this I think it's important that it has to be in the bill, particularly because it can be challenged at a later stage. And I think if it's here, then it's something that we covered legally with. And we would support the proposal that it is 50% of the threshold or quota in terms of the previous election seat. So for example, if it was 50,000 votes, 50% of that would be 25,000 signatures. So that would be the requirement. And I think that part of it must be specified in the bill. So we would support the proposal of 50% of the last election. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pile, Honorable Modise.
Thank you, Gareth. I think in principle, we are all in agreement that there should be deposits and signatures. And I'm also in support, as covered by Comrade Pile and the previous speakers, that the 50,000 should be the prerequisite, and also to say that the modalities and the formulas should be determined by the, or should be dealt with by the IEC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think members are in principle in support or resolving on this matter, which will take note of that. And there's an issue that has been raised on the cooling off period. And in our, if members check our notes back on deliberation, there was an understanding of affirming the cooling period of 3 months. And I see Honorable Ross is giving reasons beyond that in terms of the issues that may arise as we interface with that. And I think that it's correct that the deposit, the process or the issue of the deposit will be dealt with by the IEC in the regulations. I will invite the IEC just on the matter that if there's a matter that I think Honorable Lizelle raised a point, and Honorable Ross on the issue of the cooling period, just for purpose of clarity, but it's an affirmation in terms of accepting the this and resolving on this matter. Then after I'll get the DM, because we will not want to benefit from the contributions that he had wanted to do. Through you, Commissioner Laff, if I may invite Mr. Mamabolo.
Chairperson, maybe before the CEO comes in, I just wanted to emphasize the fact that the issue that the IEC put forward in its submission is an issue that we are simply saying that the quantum of signatures should be determined in regulations, but should relate to a quota, a percentage of the previous results. The issue of 50% as a specific figure is not something that has come from the Commission, but it's rather to say, let us have a percentage that relates to the quota from a previous election. So I think that's the principle that we had emphasized in our submission, which was circulated to the honorable members, chairperson. I think secondly, when it comes to the issue of deposits, the question then is similarly that these would be determined as members seem to be support in the same way as they are now through regulation. I think the CEO will then be able to pick up on those issues possibly, but also on the matter that was raised by Honourable Member Ruiz. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Commissioner Laff. Mr. Mamabolo.
Thanks, Chairperson and members. I think to assist the committee, in the last version of the submission, we spoke of a percentage and revised the initial submission where we had said absolutely 50. So the position of the commission is that it has to be a percentage of the quota in the previous equivalent election. Now, to assist the committee, what we can do is to look at the 2019 election results and look at the quota for all the 9 regions, all the 9 provinces, as well as the National Assembly, and see where 50% is at and where 25% is at, or even where 15% is at, and then for the committee to make a determination based on those figures. Perhaps maybe when you see the actual figures, you'd have a better sense of what is fair and reasonable for the committee to make a determination. Now, on the issue of the cooling off period, the commission does not make determination on that. It's a matter that came in the committee. And the commission, it was not in the commission's submission. So if the committee is asking directly that they would want to hear the views of the commission on the matter, I think it's fair that we retreat and offer a considered view in our next engagement. Just to give you a sense of the deposits which are determined in terms of the regulations concerning the submission of lists of candidates. Currently, to contest the elections of the National Assembly is 200,000. And to contest a province, it's 45,000. Obviously, based on the proposition before the committee, you now need to regulate a deposit for contesting the region because it is now a separate election. Now, what the commission would do before determining this, the quantum deposit for a province, for a region, and for the National Assembly, we would invite submissions from stakeholders, economists, political scientists, academia, civil society, political parties, as to in the circumstances of the prevailing economic situation, what is a fair figure to determine. And having received all those inputs, the commission will then make a determination and pronounce on that by way of amending this regulation. So I think these figures will change from one election to the other. And now we need to balance this against the quantum of signatures as well, and so on. So it's an issue that can be competently dealt with in the regulations. That's the remark for now, Chair. Thank you.
No, thanks very much. Is there any other member want to input on this matter? No, I think we've sufficiently dealt with this item and then understanding principle that the signature and the deposit and the cooling of a period, we may need to affect them. And as the IEC notes that the all members of the committee, the deposit will leave it to be regulated by the IEC with the reasons that have been presented, and the signatures will have to affirm it in the bill as a principle. The cooling off period, I think you're correct that is not within the ambit of the IEC to sponsor that. Is reflecting in the amendment bill, and I think we must affirm that 3 months period. And I know Honorable Ross, you are saying is less. We have to have more month to have a cooling off period. That is an understanding on this item. We will note that we'll record it as such, and if there are other issues that need to come back, the IEC. We'll always, as the Mr. Mambole is indicating, we'll then deal with that. We'll now go to the section F, and I must note that our committee secretary, Mr. Matonsi, has also suffered on the network. Is out. I said I must put an apology. And Mr. Adams, our content advisor, I'm not sure whether they are back. The DM, before we go to the next item, you wanted to have put another, you wanted to contribute. Can I check if you are back, DM? Okay, let's move to the next item, members, on the section F, the number of ballots. And I think in the deliberation, there's also expression, members have contributed to that, but let me get views on the issues for purpose of resolving on that. Honorable Ruas.
Yes, Chair. As you say, we have discussed this in the last meeting. So our view is that changing regions to multi-member regional constituencies could be confusing, especially later on, as we have said we're not going to do constituencies now, but after the next national election, it should urgently be addressed. And then once you create actual constituencies, then again, you will just have to change this back to regions or change it to something else again. So I know it was an idea that came for a specific purpose, but our view was that we should just continue to call regions. And once we form proper constituencies, then we call them constituencies. And that will avoid this confusion that is mentioned in this section.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable Lizelle. Yeah, co-chair. Honorable Tito. Honorable Jose.
Thank you, Chair. Keep it at 3% by the IEC. And we should also maintain the current electoral system of compensatory seats to remain at 50 by 50 or 50.
Honorable Jose, are you done? As your network is terrible bags. Honorable Kanyele?
Thank you, yes, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyele.
I'm in support of what Honorable Ross has said, that we should leave them as regions and not change them into the multi-member regional constituencies. Thank you very much.
Honorable, thank you, Honorable Pile.
Chair, full support of remaining as regions. I think that multi-party is just going to create confusion, and we don't want to be able to create that confusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Modise.
Thank you, Chair. I'm also in full support that it should remain as it is, as regions, and not be changed to multi-party regional constituency that term.
Thank you very much, members. I think that is all is the committee submissions on the issues. Thank you, Mr. Salmon. We'll record those submissions. Did I get Honorable Lizelle and Honorable Tito? I've missed them. Unless they are also suffering from this network problem. Can I check again before we step off this item? Honorable Zen? Yeah, no. Okay, our last item is on the clause 9, I think has been expressed here, and I think has to do with the, in the main, I will invite Honorable Rose, I will invite Honorable Lojas Pile, Honorable Kwase, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Tito, and Honorable Motise. Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chair. I think we'd proposed the 300 to 100, so that view remains as is. And then on the point 7 there, in terms of the clause being removed regarding compliance and forfeiting seats if parties don't have enough candidates, I seem to remember we discussed this before and expressed the view that parties should be able to top up their lists.
Honorable Mr. Through you, Commissioner Love, Mr. Mawabulo, if you can mute. Thank you. Sorry, Honorable Ross.
Sure, Chair. So I think that view remains as well, that if parties gain more seats than they have on their list, that they should be given a period of 72 hours or whatever it may be to submit an updated list. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Pile.
Chair, I'm in support of the three ballots. And I think Honorable Lekwase mentioned something about compensatory earlier on. And I think full view that it should remain 50-50, that's 200 to 200, and should not change. Thank you.
Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are in support of 300 to 100. Thank you.
Honorable Modise.
Thanks very much, Chair. I support that it should remain the 50-50 and the 200 and to 200. Thank you, Chair. It should not change.
Okay. Is Honorable Tito and Honorable Lizelle back? Members, this is the framework in which we have attempted to engage on so that we get expressed views. And I think also on this last item, there's two different or views that are expressed differently. We'll then interact with this item. So there are two items which were noted as different views, which members have expressed on section D and clause 11, and in all the issues that were presented here in terms of the were structured for input, there's consensus principle in terms of decisions and understanding on some of the areas that will be subjected to the IEC for regulations and the other issues that must be remain in the bill. So that was the contributions of the members of the committee, and that also note that we also have to this an understanding that we ought not to get into the constituency electoral system in terms of the expressed views that have been demonstrated as members. It's something that we may need to look beyond 2024 or so on, but we may need to deal with the immediate to allow independent candidates, which affirms the amendment, electoral amendment bill position on the minimalist policy choice. And that is an expression I'm getting. And I think from members, and I think Honorable Ross has repeatedly in the last meeting also get into this discussion. What we'll do, we'll then craft the decisions and the issues that we have consensus on and understanding since we've started the deliberations, and in our next committee meeting present those and affirm decisions. And then if there are issues that need to be, because we don't want to get into the voting is the last stage of on the matter, to vote on the matter. So we need to persuade each other in terms of this matter, but obviously we will opt if there's no resolutions in terms of the different views that are expressed in the meeting. Hence, that issues that I've identified coming from members of the committee, that are different views which have been expressed, and we don't want to enter into the voting at this point. We need to solicit views from the members and stakeholders, as we've been doing today. And I think we must appreciate IEC for promptly getting into, just to clarify certain issues or to recap on the issues that have been raised. I must appreciate members for having gone through this report and demonstrated understanding on the process and the contributions. I want to check if the state law advisors or the Parliamentary Legal Service, if there are no other issues which they may have wanted to contribute, not as a presentation, but they've picked it up in these deliberations. I will start with the state law advisor if they are they're here. Ms. Williams.
Sorry, Chair, it's Ms. Govender. Ms. Williams is actually not on the platform this morning. I wasn't able to tender apologies because I had the wrong link for joining the meeting, so I apologize for that. But from our side, Chair, we are fine for now, and we'll be guided by the committee as to what is to be looked at further. But for now, we're fine.
Thank you, Ms. Govender. I think we must apologize because we are correct that there was a wrong link and all of us who struggled, an apology for you and your team for the inconvenience caused. The other matter I think we must deal with is the on the they were formula presented by IEC last week on the droop and the hair. So we must take note of that matter, and I must get guidance from the members so that we're able to interface with that and take principal decisions on that. But let me invite the Parliamentary Legal Service before that item.
Morning, Chair. I think Saviwe and Daksha are not able to join because of load shedding and technical issues. But there were three issues that we noticed were missing from from Adam's summary, and that would be, like you said, Chair, the droop quota and the decision regarding on your third round doing droop quota versus a single round and the hair quota. And then the residency requirement was another issue, Chairperson, that we saw was missing. The fact that political parties had a different requirement when it came to residency compared to to independent candidates. As you'll recall, independent candidates had to be an ordinary resident, whereas political candidates had to have a requirement of being registered to vote within the region. And then the third issue that we noticed was missing was a resolution from the committee regarding the vacancy issue and how to fill vacancies. And that's on item 34 of clause 11 of schedule 1A. And those were the only three issues that we had noticed were missing.
Thanks very much, Telan, for that observations. Members.
Chair, this is Daksha. I have rejoined. Sorry to disturb you.
No. Not at all, Daksha. You can proceed.
Chair, I just want to comment on the issues that have been agreed to by the committee in principle this morning, and maybe just provide some guidance as to what the current electoral system does say in that respect to assist with the committee in reaching a decision on how things then should possibly be dealt with in the bill. The first issue is on the agents. I know everyone agrees that independent candidates should have agents as well, representing them at voting stations. How the question, however, is how and how many. So I just wanted to refer the committee to Section 58 of the current Electoral Act, which does actually say that parties are allowed two party agents at voting stations and four party agents in a venue and in another venue, as well as two party agents in counting stations. So some guidance can perhaps be taken from that, because I do see that the IEC in its proposal has mentioned an unlimited number of part of agents for independents. But the question then would be, how practical would this be? So I would suggest that the bill then actually does expressly say how many agents there should be for each independent candidate, so that it's clear and it's certain. With regard to the issue of deposits, the view is rightfully and correctly expressed that this should be left to the IEC. However, at present, our current Electoral Acts do say things, our current Electoral Act does say that parties contesting a national election can pay more of a deposit compared to parties contesting a provincial election. So if the decision then is that different deposits need to be set for independent candidates versus parties, nothing would stop the committee from proposing that in the bill, but then leaving the actual amount to be determined by the IEC. On the issue of signatures, as Mr. Pillay has said, that should expressly be set in the bill. The IEC has said that they'll offer guidance on getting quotas on previous elections to assist the committee in determining how many signatures that should be or what the quota should be. But I also just want to alert the committee to the fact that the current Local Government Municipal Electoral Act does say that 50 votes are needed, or 50 signatures are needed for candidates contesting wards. And it might help in getting guidance on how that number was determined, so that we could also then provide that proper formula in the bill instead of leaving it for regulation, so that there's certainty in the law. Those are just my preliminary views at this point.
Thank you. Thank you a lot. Thanks, Ms. Daksha, for your observations and the contributions.
Excuse me, Chairperson, my apology, and through you, Commissioner Love. The first point that Daksha raises, I think better guidance on the issue of the party agent is to be found in Section 39 of the Municipal Electoral Act, which provides for the number of agents for parties and the number of agents for independents. And I think if we have to deal with it in the Act, we should take guidance from Section 39 of the Municipal Electoral Act. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, also through you, if I can just add, it's also in Section 58 of the current Electoral Act as well.
Let me assist. Let me assist so that we don't work outside what we have established as a framework of deliberations. And I think you will appreciate that. I think we appreciate the observations on the issues. And I don't, as a committee, we don't want to get into uncoordinated exchange of submissions between our stakeholders at this platform, so that it may. Because I've identified there may be certain issues which may not have came out, which will contradict in this process. the issues that we raise. What we'll do the before I invite members is that we'll get those issues that Daksha has raised to be drafted and to be sent to the attention of the members. The observations that were in all the issues. And I think it's what the committee would have wanted. And the issues that Mr. Mamabolo, in relation to what Ms. Daksha has raised, to do a short drafting so that it form part of our processing, and we're going to resolve on those issues. We have resolved on them in the next meeting. When we recap, we deal with the issues in reference to the sections that have been highlighted. And I wanted just to get your understanding before I go back to the issues I've with Tilani also has raised. Mr. Shiburi, I think I hear you want to come in on the same matter. Let us appreciate Daksha, Mr. Mamabolo, and Shiburi on the issues that are emanating from these deliberations, but we'll not want to work more outside what we've established as the foundation, but it assists for deliberations. Mr. Shiburi?
Thank you, Chair. I was just saying that the proposed draft is in paragraph 19 of our submission. We have deliberately moved away from the numbers because we know the practical difficulties that voting stations are not the same. If you put in numbers, you will not be able to give practical implementation to that. So the drafting we're proposing, that the bill just deals with the principle that independents are entitled party agents, and we leave that to the regulation, the numbers and how you deal with instances where you have multiple number of parties contesting. For example, if you have 50 parties contesting, however big your voting station, it can never accommodate those party agents. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Ms. Daksha and Mr. Shibur, I'll come back to this matter as we close. I wanted to raise something in relation to the A list, that we some of the issues will be expressly indicated there. Ms. Honorable Pile, your hand was up. Okay. There are two issues which they were presented by the IEC, and the committee requested IEC to come and brief the committee on the formula or the calculations which the Mr. Mamabolo dealt with that part in our last meeting, demonstrated the droop formula and the hair, and I think Telane has also identified that matter. The issue of the vacancy, if you recall, members in principle agreed that, and I think the IEC also and all the stakeholders and the legal team in their presentation highlights that we may not need to have by-elections, and there's a principle understanding by the committee on how we must deal with this vacancy, and that will be also come in, and as we deal with the A list, this matter of the formula, the droop and the hair, can I get understanding from members? We may not deliberate it if they are not. They were, in fact, was not on the page notes. We can shift it to the next meeting to conclude on it, or but we can exhausted now. Can I establish with members on this matter?
Chair.
Yes, Honorable Pile, I've invited you. I'll invite all honourable members. Let's start with Honourable Pile.
Chair, I know I was going to indicate that those were the three issues that were missing, but I'll be guided by you. Just in light of your last proposal that we take those items at the next meeting, I'm happy to do that. But if you want us to deliberate now, I'm also happy to contribute. So I think perhaps I'll take direction from the meeting.
Yeah, can I establish with members if we can take them now or in the next meeting? In fact, let me start with Mr. Salmon so that we has requested that he must on the process so that we are able to find each other. Mr. Salmon?
Yes, Chairperson.
There was a matter on the A list. Can I get the sense before I get members to? Yes.
Chairperson, my understanding is that the members were largely in agreement on the issue. And we have some clarity from this meeting on the outstanding issue. It's a question of asking whether the stakeholders, which I believe is Office of the State Law Advisor and the Parliamentary Legal Services, can come up with a draft or an A list for us to discuss potentially on Friday, and if not, then next week Tuesday. This was we missed in one meeting last week, so our schedule is a little bit behind. So we just want to assess from the stakeholders if they're available, but they're going to be able to go after an A-list for us to guide our further deliberations.
Okay, noted. I will request Daksha to just make an impression on that when I invite her. Can we, members, on this matter that I raised, and I think which were not on the item, must we defer to the next meeting or we can impress on in this meeting? Honorable Ross?
Chairperson, I'm happy to discuss them in this meeting. I do feel that we need to move on.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of what has been raised, there is a general agreement on it.
Okay. I think correct, Honorable Lukwase and Honorable Tito.
I think we can still deal with it in this meeting, Chair. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Honorable Tito? Okay, let's proceed on this item. I think it will be our last item, the issues which I think also observed by Tilan, so that we have an principal understanding on them. And then later, Daksha will assist in terms of the process for the A list. And then we have an understanding for our next deliberations. Can I invite the Honorable Pile?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In respect of the allocation of seats and the formula, Chair, I would support the single round droop quota system. There's just one thing that I would like to seek some clarity on in terms of the IEC, is just if they could explain to us that highest surplus versus highest average. If they could just give us, you know, some kind of understanding about it, I think it will help us to determine whether we use the highest surplus or the highest average. If they were just, but single round droop quota is what we should go with. And Chair, the filling of vacancies as agreed previously, that it should be allocated to the next available independent candidate or political party in terms of having the highest number of votes. And then the last item was in terms of the, what was the last item? Okay, I think let me just cover those two. If I remember the last one, I'll come back to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pile. Honorable Ross?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think, a lot of the allocation of seats has to do with whether independents are on the national list. And as I indicated in the last meeting, if you look at the existing system of seat allocation, it gives us the best chance of achieving general proportionality. And it uses droop. The national seats are first calculated, the national seat threshold is calculated, and then seats are allocated that way. Then in the next round, then there's also a single round system using the droop system to calculate the regional seats. And then it comes back to the national list to top up and ensure proportionality. The two changes from the existing system would then be that an independent candidate could only gain one seat, and that after you've allocated five seats with the remainders in the current system, then you go and use highest averages. Whereas in this case, you would need to just continue with the droop, the highest remainders. So that was our proposal, Chairperson, but certainly one round is definitely fairer, because then you have one threshold for everybody on a droop system. But Chairperson, it's key. If you do not allow independent candidates to contest the national PR seats, then you will, it will result in an unfair and unbalanced system that is out of proportion. For the reason I gave earlier, Chair, essentially, if an independent candidate gets 80,000 votes from across the country, they should be able to get a seat, the same seat that a party would get if they got 80,000 seats from around the country. Then, Chair, in terms of vacancies, I think, you know, the existing system as it would be, your political parties would fill up from a list that they have. But by utilizing the droop and the highest remainders, you would essentially then have a national list which would form from that election result, which you could then use in the future for if an independent candidate's seat is vacated, to fill it with either the next independent candidate or the next party that has the highest remainder. And again, the fairness element is to say, if you got more votes than somebody else, they shouldn't get in ahead of you. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Ross?
I'm finished, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jose.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to agree with Honorable Pillay on the one round troop system, and also with my view is that we agree that we should leave it as the highest, with the highest surplus. But also on the feeling of vacancy, Chair, I think on the feeling of vacancy, the next, whether it's a party or independent, with the highest number of remainder votes must be given an opportunity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ross. Honorable Jose, Honorable Tito. I'm sure Honorable Tito was not in the last meeting where we were dealing with the formula. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the issues that were, or contributions or inputs that were made by Ms. Silani and Dashka, I have been covered by Honorable Ross. However, I also wish to mention that some of the issues we did touch on, because I noted Ms. Dashka, she mentioned the issue of signatures, that in the local elections, there's a requirement of 50 signatures. When IEC was giving their inputs, they have mentioned that currently for national, there's about 200,000 that needs to be paid a deposit, and for provincial, 45,000. But they said in the next meeting, they're going to come and give us the figure so that we can be able to propose maybe on the figure that needs to be paid going forward. And also the figures that they're going to give us will also enable us to propose or determine how much the independent candidates will need to pay. Other than that, on the other issues, I'm covered, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Mudise.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm fully in support of the single round troop quota formula. I think it's very inclusive and it will provide all parties that are contesting to have an opportunity to gain or attain or obtain a seat. And also to say that troop formula should also be applied on the next round of the remainders, the highest remainder to that formula should also apply, and it's very inclusive. On the filling of vacancy, I also support that the next party or independent with the highest number of votes or remainders, that vacancy should be applied or should be taken to. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, members, for these issues that you have raised, and that are before us. We must also appreciate the IEC for having came back to deal with this formula in our last meeting, and this principle resolve that we must consider the troop formula. And I think that is an understanding of this meeting, including the discussion which we've already carried of the vacancies. That which will then able to be packed in terms of the notes that also will be bringing to the meeting. And I must take note that we'll do that in reference to what the IEC has made the presentation last week in terms of the group formula, so that we are properly clearer on this issue, which will it will find its way into the act. So this is a understanding in terms of the principal issues we've interfaced with and then taken, and that will come back to the in our next meeting. As the I'm going to invite Alana to Daksha just to get to impress on the A list process, so that we were able to interface. And I think
then I'll
yes.
Before Daksha speaks to the A list, you forgot the residency requirement and the differences between the independent candidates requirement versus the political party candidates requirement. That was the first issue I raised, but I think Anvil Pillay was saying he couldn't remember one of the one of my issues, and that was one of the issues that I had raised.
Okay, but I will take it back to the understanding was that the IEC, when they were presenting and responding, they've touched on this matter. And we can labor again with the IEC so that there's a fair share of your understanding of, so that we're able to cover up on the notes that we raised.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, maybe before Dr. Chair, because there was also an issue, I think it's Honorable Ross or Honorable Pile who raised it. Can I get understanding, Honorable Mr. Mamabolo, if you pick it up, one of the issues that were raised by for your attention?
No, Chair, I thought the proposition from the IEC was clear on the table, and that was you can contest in terms of the regional elections, you can contest any region. So it shouldn't really matter which region you are registered in. However, there would be a registration requirement in relation to provincial elections. In other words, you have to be registered on the provincial segment of the voter's roll in the relevant province to contest the elections of a provincial legislature. So unless I'm missing the import of the question before me.
Okay, I'll come noted. Honorable Ross, I see your hand.
Chairperson, I think what is being asked here is we've spoken about independent candidates to be able to participate in each province. And I think the question is then, should party candidates be able to also be on the list in each province? And I remember us discussing this last time around, and our view was that, again, you have an independent candidate standing, or you stand as a party, and that the party puts individuals in different provinces. But an independent candidate, the only way they can participate across the provinces is to stand in each one. But I think that this is the question that's being raised. If we say that independents can stand in each province, should individual members on party lists also be able to appear on the regional list of every province or multiple provinces?
Yeah, I'm sure when we're resolving on this, not resolving, when I was summarizing on this matter, and I deliberately don't want to allow you to come back again, and we're making it difficult for IEC to raise the same matter all again. I've said that views expressed on this matter and will pack this matter so that we're able to influence each other on the subject matter without necessarily going to a vote. The views that have been expressed by members on this matter, and we'll come back to it if it was not captured properly, so that we persuade in deliberations, now that we have not even concluded on this deliberation. So I wanted to ascertain that we are right, Honorable Ross, we have deliberated or interacted with it, and even today we have interacted with it in our slide notes. But is a matter that we have persuaded yourself that we'll come back to it, given the submissions of views that have been expressed on how must they resolve on it, and that will then further deliberate on this matter in our next meeting. Is that will assist you, Delana?
Yes, Chair, that will assist me if we can have a discussion with it at the next meeting.
Yeah, we'll continue deliberating on this matter because members have different views and we must persuade each other and sort more guidance on this on this matter, because IEC has made its own articulation and positions and submission, and again, so it's member the committee that must able to find a consensus on how we must move without rushing to vote on the matter. So we must allow space for mobilizing thinking to members of the committee on the subject. Daksha, can I invite you? Daksha?
Sorry, Chair, I just had an unstable connection there for a moment. Yes. Chair, on the A-list, what an A-list is it contains the exact detail of how the portfolio committee wishes to amend the bill. So at this point, I think it might be a little bit premature because we still have a lot of outstanding issues that need to be agreed upon. I mean, as you mentioned, there are two main issues where there were differing views in the committee today. So it puts us in a very difficult position to start drafting when we don't have the instruction on what that draft should look like. And even on issues like agents and the signatures, we're still needing the detail on how many agents were independent candidates, how many signatures. So to have any A-list ready for your next meeting, if it's Friday, I think would be a little bit premature, but that's my view. But once we have those details and agreement from the portfolio committee, then the state law advisors and ourselves can definitely put an A-list together, and possibly after your next meeting, when the details on what it is you would want the bill to contain have been agreed to. That's my view on the process on the A-list, but I invite the state law advisor to perhaps share their view and add some and shed more light on this. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. State law advisor.
Thank you, Chair. As Daksha has correctly pointed out, the A-list is actually the instruction as to how the bill should be amended. So we would rely on direction from the committee as to exactly what it is that everybody is, or what the agreement is by the members of the committee. Because at the moment, as you have correctly pointed out, there's still some issues where there are differing views. So for us to properly give effect to the A-list, we would prefer to have proper instructions from the committee on all aspects that may need to be amended in the bill. So I do agree with Daksha that we will wait for, you know, proper instructions and guidance from the committee as to what needs to be given effect to in the A-list.
Yes, correct. I think it's our it's our understanding that as we've observed that in our next meeting, we'll bring in the all the issues that we'll resolve on and where there are different views, we'll finalize that. And then we'll allow that process to start. Can I invite the minister? Can I invite the minister if in your team, if there are any other issue you wanted to comment on, and then I will invite Commissioner Love, and then we work towards closing. Minister. Deputy Minister. Director General.
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks, honorable members. No further comments from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Commissioner Love.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks to you and the other honorable members. I don't think there's anything at this stage to add from our side. Obviously, once we get from you further detail, we'll look at individual clauses within the bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you a lot. Thank you, honorable members, and thank you, IEC, the State Law Advisor, and our Parliamentary Legal Service, and our stakeholders for contributing to these deliberations as we strengthen this amendment bill. And I think you have made it more easier, members, for these contributions, and also to come closer to the issues that the IEC as an implementing agent have able to contribute to these issues. We'll stand off today in all the items. We'll then deal with the issues with the content advisor and the legal team in our session to frame up the notes and come back in the next meeting and deal with outstanding issues that we need to interact with, so that we allow the A-list to be drafted. The second point will then look on the issues we have raised earlier on the item that was supposed to be dealt with by the minister and his task team. As I've indicated, I will interface with Honorable Lizelle, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Mudise on a matter in relation to the report that must be submitted to the, or released before the committee meeting. I think the framework, which will be whether the minister must present it, and then we'll then get a follow-up session where all the report will have been presented. But we'll get guidance and we'll come back to the committee to outline on how we're going to handle this sensitive report, as the minister has indicated, and also taking note of the reports that we've been receiving previously, which were sensitive, so that to avoid people who might have been implicated to interdict the report we presented to the committee. Mr. Matonsi, is there any other matter before we adjourn the meeting? No. Thanks very much, members and colleagues. We'll then meet in the next meeting. The meeting stand adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chair.